The Cup of Season podcast was born from the false perception that millennials don't want to get married. I'm Rontel, and I serve as one of your hosts.
And I'm Ebony. I also serve as one of your hosts. Together, we will share stories and advice about our own quest to find love and ultimately each other.
We'll discuss the challenges that millennials face in dating to find love or just dating to date in hopes that you, our listeners, can apply what is relevant to your own lives.
In the process, we hope to make you laugh, we hope to make you feel optimistic, and ultimately to find more ways to love yourself, love others, and love the one you're meant to be with.
Some say that cuffing season is relegated to cold temperatures, but we hope to make every day a good day to cuff, baby. What up, what up, what up? Hey, man, you are listening to a married man.
Yes, you will now refer to me as Mrs. Beatty.
No more M-I-S-S. Got no to put M-I-S-S. The M-R-S, period. I'm still Mr., but you are now Mrs. Beatty. And you know what? I couldn't be more excited.
Yes.
To have a wife and to be a husband, man. So, thank y'all for joining us for yet another podcast. Now, if you haven't been able to ascertain from the first 30 seconds of this podcast, this is a very special episode. This is our first episode as husband and wife because when we first came to y'all, we were engaged. We were newly engaged.
Yeah.
We couldn't have been more than a few months in when Ebony came up with an idea to just talk about the struggles and the benefits and just, you know, what it meant to be a millennial and to be committed to someone else and to be engaged, to be married. So that was the tone that we started this podcast with. And by life's natural course of events, we are obviously transitioning to
married life, a
married people's podcast. But we will continue to talk about the things that are relevant to not only married people but engaged people, to people in relationships, dating, situationships, yeah, single people. Because guess what? We didn't wake up in this position. You know, we went through all those phases ourselves to get to where we are today, and I believe that our journey and the good Lord teaches us that our journey, you know, our testimony, the testimony of each and every one of us are designed to help other people. Our testimonies are the most powerful thing that any of us have to change the world. And through this podcast, Ebony and I will continue to use our testimonies to change the world. So, yeah, we just got married, wife.
August 4th, 2019. It is officially.
I feel like something else happened on August 4th. What else happened on August
4th? Obama's birthday?
Yeah, so we got married on Obama's birthday. Also, like basically one of my best friends, Mario Henderson, he was also one of my groomsmen. It was his birthday as well, and yes. I want to appreciate his. Take this time to appreciate him. He was clutch, you know, and we'll get into how clutch he was in a moment. But yeah, we got married on Sunday, August 4th. It was amazing. Where did we get married at?
We got married in Cancun, Mexico. Destination
wedding, man. When we first started wedding planning, like, destination was not something that we were considering. It was, I don't want to say it was a last resort, but it definitely wasn't a second option.
Yeah, it wasn't. We didn't think of like, oh, let's just get married overseas. That wasn't like a first thought. It was like California, Florida. Yeah. He's from Florida. I'm from California for background. And
I feel like we even considered D.C. where we live.
Yeah,
now,
we did. But I was just.
Yeah, I mean, finances were a huge part of the conversation because, like, it's so expensive to have a wedding in 2019. As soon as you tell somebody, hey, I'd like to rent your space, to get married, the price goes from $2,000 that it would have been to $20,000.
Yeah, when I was looking in California, it was definitely, I'm like, just for the venue, and I was like, oh no.
People want to profit off of your love, but let me tell you this, you be the one to profit hell off no, of it.
Hell no, we won't go.
Hold the money.
No, we won't go.
Keep that bag, sis and brother. Don't let people dig all in your pockets to get married. You keep it. And you spend it on yourself and your wife and your husband and the people that matter the most to you. So, yeah, we had an interesting, like, interesting experience. So, we, I think we got engaged. And then we spent the next 12 to 14, well, we spent the first 2 months of our engagement, like, just enjoying it. Then we spent 12 months after that planning our wedding.
The next year of your life.
So talk about like the final moments leading up to actually leaving for Cancun, because it wasn't like to our point, we were not flying to Florida or flying back home to California. Like, we were flying out of the country for a wedding. Talk about the process. Like, what, you know, what were you thinking mentally? What were you going through?
I feel like every wedding people have like a lot of checklists, right?
Yeah.
But I just feel like the last month, it flew by.
Yeah.
I feel like I had a checklist every day, just like just making sure I had every single thing, because it's not like you're just like at home. You can just run back and get something, or so you can send somebody for you. Like, there is no going back.
Nope.
Like, I'm flying to Mexico and flying back because you forgot something. Which I actually did forget something, but it was so small that it, you know, made no difference.
Like, oh, you love your wedding shoes? Well, I guess you're getting married in Chucks.
Exactly. What you got, we're going to work with.
Right.
But yeah, it's just like making sure you have every possible thing, you know. It was exciting, but it was just like nerve-wracking. It was just like, you just feel like you're forgetting something, even if you have everything.
I remember coming home, because I actually went to work that day, the day before we left, which, you know, was... I don't know if it was smart or not smart, because I hadn't packed, but I came back home. I think I got home around 7:30, 8 o'clock. We had a 6 a.m. flight the next morning. So I'm like, you know, I'm doing a checklist. Like, I'm okay. Tux. I need shoes. I need this many pairs of socks, this many pairs of underwear, this many pairs of swimming trunks.
Yes, yes.
I need flip flops. I need suntan lotion. I need toothpaste. I need toothbrushes.
Just everything.
Right. So I'm writing a list of all this stuff, knowing that like once I get to Mexico, I may not be able to, find these things over there if I leave them behind in the States. So it was kind of stressful, and like knowing I only had a few hours to get things together. And then meanwhile, like, I couldn't ask Ebony for help, because she's doing the exact same thing. And hers is more stressful because she had way more stuff to pack than I did.
Yeah.
And
I probably should have packed everything more than the night before.
Probably.
But I feel like you
probably, but you know, I wasn't gonna bring that
up.
But
you want to see everything laid out. It's like you have to visualize it, and I can't, because then you forget what you already packed and what you didn't pack. You know, it's like I needed to see everything laid out. I was getting my nails done the day before, like how to get just a whole bunch of last minute things.
Yeah. So the flight was early too. It was like
the
flight
sleep.
Was at 6 a.m. right.
Yeah, I didn't sleep at all.
Yeah, so Ebony pulled an all-nighter. I think I got 2 hours. I slept from like 10 p.m. to midnight. And then
I was watching him sleep like, ooh, I just want to just push you over right now, because I was so jealous.
Yeah, that's because I actually laid a lot of my stuff out, you know, to where when I got home, only thing I had to do was put it in a bag and just check it off my list. And then again,
yeah, I
had less stuff than her. So that's just the nature of being a guy. You're going to have less stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say that the stuff I had to do was harder because like when I got up, you know, I had to pack, but I also like cleaned the house while she was getting ready. And then I went to freaking FedEx at 3 a.m. to get welcome cards printed for all of our guests. And I get there and there's nobody there to help me. Like, the dude is on lunch break at 3 a.m. So I'm like standing outside waiting.
I was confused. I was like, you're like, I'm going to FedEx. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, we're
at
tired. 3
a.m. Because I'm like, you know, I'm trying to, I'm thinking of, you know, last minute things that, you know, we didn't do. And I'm like, crap, we forgot to do welcome cards to put in everybody's hotel room. So I go to FedEx at 3. I actually designed the card on my laptop at 2:30. And then I go to FedEx to print it. But got it done. We drive to BWI, Baltimore, Washington International Airport.
Yeah,
Thurgood Marshall.
Yes, Thurgood.
And yeah, you know, we get on our flight, which was dope. Roll first class. Only way to do it.
Even though I was freaking out with my dress every 10 minutes.
Oh my God.
I was like, Ron, can you see it? Is someone stepping on it? Is someone, can you see my dress? Like,
but that's the whole reason why I got first class in the first place, because Ebony cheat, man. She got Section 8 tendencies. And
you know, I just conserve where you can.
She wanted to fly basic economy all the way to Cancun.
Okay, not basic economy.
With a wedding dress. And I'm like, no, we're going to do first class because you're going to want to put your dress
but I know
in
I,
the private closet
I
area.
I could have hung it without being in first class.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have been able to watch it the same way you were able to watch it before. So, you know, we flew over there and, you know, the flight attendant is coming around. Mostly everybody asleep because it's early, but I'm like wide awake because I can't sleep on planes anyway. And, you know, she asked everybody for their drink order. Most people are asleep, so they don't order anything. Some people order water. Me, I took some champagne. And I'm up the entire flight to Cancun. So I'm like, I'm drinking champagne.
I was knocked out.
And the flight attendant ends up like bringing me the entire bottle because after you pop it, I mean, you just got to keep pouring it. But I was the only person drinking it. So he just gave me the rest of the bottle. By the time we landed in Cancun, customs was a breeze. And the, you know, I feel like the stage was set for the rest of the weekend as soon as we got there, because you remember like what we saw as soon as we came out the airport?
Yeah, they had a sign. This guy had a sign that was like Malone Beatty wedding, and they're just like, we got so hyped when we saw that. It was such a pretty sign. It was like purple and I forgot the colors at this point, but it was just like so cool to see that, and you're just like, yeah, it's us. It's time to party. Like, that's how I felt the moment I saw it.
That's how I felt too. It's like, you know, a whole bunch of people out there trying to find their cabs and all this other stuff, but we had like a dedicated guy with like a big old black presidential SUV waiting on us. You know, they're loading all our bags. We get to the resort, and you know, they're just, from the moment we get there, it's just
so many people just helping us,
just helping us. Oh, we've been anticipating your arrival.
Yes,
we'll take your bags. They took us directly inside to like a private area that they had set up just for us with our name, the Mr.
Champagne,
and Mrs. sign.
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. sign, and then like a waiter standing there ready to pour our champagne, strawberries and chocolate, and just all types of stuff.
There was another dedicated guy there to just, you know, take our Instagram boomerangs. Like, it was lit, man. It was so lit. Check-in was a breeze.
It was so cool.
We also had, you know, a suite on a private level that had, like, a balcony with, like, a, I want to say, like, a members only, but, like,
I guess look at the VIP area. So yeah, like if you were staying in like the suites, that whole area had like its own like pool area, own bar, own like jacuzzi, whatever it had on that level. Like it was just like your own.
But
section.
I noticed though, they also had like a health food bar, a ceviche bar, like all the healthy stuff was on this level, which
that's life. Everything
I think that was very American, even though we were in
everything
Mexico.
Healthy is more expensive. So
yo, they put all the healthy stuff on the members only level,
we were on the organic aisle.
not saying I needed it, because I mean I completely abandoned any diet I may have
ceviche,
had.
Ceviche, I'm getting tequila.
Exactly. So we arrived. Our wedding was on Sunday the 4th, but we arrived on Wednesday, July 31st. So we had a little bit of time to kick it. Her family came in a couple hours later, so you know we kicked it
with
them.
They were lit.
There were like four or five really nice restaurants on property, so we made a reservation at each and every one of them. We went to a different one every single night, and I think the first day like we ended up. What, everybody just getting in the pool, drinking shots, going to the steakhouse at night?
I couldn't. It's such a blur at this point.
A blur.
I don't remember what we did the first day.
No, I remember. Everybody got in the pool. We all like went up to the bar in the pool. We were all taking shots, and we went to dinner that night. The next day is when people started coming in, i.e., your bridesmaids.
Yep, I had my bachelorette party that Thursday. We were just like, let's just do it there since we're all going to be like, why not? So. Yeah. That was great. We had a yacht, and he had a suite for
us. I had a yacht
or a boat, whatever. You know, it's called a yacht, right? It's a yacht.
You had a yacht?
Yeah.
Damn.
Okay. Then we had a boat, yacht, whatever.
A big
we was on a boat, okay?
Big
we
white
on a big boat.
That sounds like a yacht to me.
We had the servers and the ceviche and guacamole and champagne and
that was
and then
yacht.
we Yeah, so then we went to dinner after all that fun.
Yeah, y'all was twerking on the boat, though. I saw your Instagram. Everybody on the boat twerking, popping bottles.
That's twerking going on. We got some Meg Thee Stallion knees up there.
I ain't mad at it.
And then what did we do after? Oh, then we had, after dinner, we went to a little suite. And they had decorated this whole room for me, and it was just so pretty. It was so pretty.
I helped decorate.
And I was like, I heard you had some... A lot to do with the decorations.
I did.
And I heard you were very particular. Like, no, this has to go here for her. And I was like, oh, he really wanted my bachelorette party to be, like, perfect.
That's what I do. I like to be involved in the details. No,
I
mean.
Trying to spy. He's like, what are they doing in here?
No, I was actually in the pool, like, swimming. And, like, I was on the pool deck, like, drinking with your, you know, this is horrible. This just sounds really bad. But yeah, we were, you know, drinking some tequila and margaritas, eating hamburgers with your dad and brother. When your mom texts me, hey, can you come upstairs and help with these decorations? So, of course,
like, really?
I could not say no, even though.
To my mother on our wedding weekend. Like, what?
Yeah. So, that was Thursday. You know, we spent the day apart. She was with her girls. I was with her dad and brother, a few other people. And I went and got a massage. I had 3 massages while I was there.
Yeah, this dude went ham with 3. The massages. He got 1.
I got 3.
I was just too busy, though.
I'm stressed. So, Friday, is when the overwhelming majority of our guests came in. How many people we had come total for our wedding?
It was like, I think it was 98.
98.
So basically 100 people.
Yeah. So Friday, I think like maybe all but 3 or 4 were there. So I think like maybe 94 were there. So we had a welcome reception for everyone.
Yeah, we had a private check-in with hors d'oeuvres and all this stuff. And our name was on the flat screen. So it was really cool. What else do they have? Like towels and...
Oh, they had like hot tip towels dipped in lavender and eucalyptus oil that like was refreshing for people who were just getting off the flight.
It was just really nice.
It was dope, man. And then like a lot of my family, like, you know, they country, they're from Florida. Some of them ain't never been out of the country. So, I mean, they popping up in Cancun at a place where people passing them towels and offering them free liquor and... You know, short ribs and chicken skewers, and they ain't got to pay for it. I mean, some of these people got addicted to the all-inclusive resort within the first 5 minutes of being there.
Best way to resort.
So that night we had an all-white welcome reception on the rooftop. It was dope.
It was from 7 to 10 p.m. So like the sun was setting right as it was kind of starting. So pretty. And people thought it was, they're like, well, dang, how's the wedding reception going to be? Because this looks like a wedding reception. It was just like so pretty.
Yeah.
I was even amazed because I really didn't even have a vision for that. They kind of, Christina, our planner, really took the lead and just made it amazing.
Yeah, it was very nice. And the funny thing about it is like Ebony and I were just so hands off throughout this entire, well, okay, I was hands off. Ebony was more hands-on, but, like, all of the planning was done from here. Like, Ebony was going back and forth via email with people in Cancun who was just executing what she said her vision was. So, for...
Yes, so everything, patience is needed.
Yeah, so for things to come together the way they did, for us, like, never even doing, like, walkthroughs beforehand or picking out stuff. Just
trust, just, faith.
You know, trust and faith, but it also just... I think it's a testament to, you know, their skill and their abilities to really put, you know, nice things together. But the thing that resonated with me the most about Friday night was just all the love that we were surrounded by.
Yeah.
The blending of the families and friends, you know, my friends meeting your friends, my family meeting your family for the first time. All the hugs we got. We had an open mic portion where people were able to come up and just talk and give best wishes, share funny stories. And, just the things that people said to us and about us. There were a lot of tears shed on day one. We're just surrounded by so much love. People who have seen us, where we come from, the things we've gone through, only to arrive at a place where, you know, we're just beyond blessed to find our better half and be able to build something that we know is ordained by God.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. And I just want to shout out two of our friends in particular, Mario and Akilah, who we put on the spot. Because really Ebony and I did cut corners a little bit. So, you know, we rented the speakers and the microphone, and they were like, well, if you want somebody to MC your event, then, you know, it's going to be extra. And we was like, nah, we
got this.
We got this. So we asked Mario and Akilah to MC the event. We couldn't have asked for two better MCs, man. They
everything. Killed it.
Everything on the fly. Off the cuff, they killed it. They had the party rocking. You know, shout out to all the folks that was, you know, helping out with the music off the iPad, because we didn't pay for the DJ either. We just hooked the iPad up and it was dope. Mike Richard, you know, everybody who threw my boots
for the welcome reception.
For the welcome reception. Yeah, this was Friday. We cut a few corners. We didn't pay for the DJ or the MC because we were like, you know, we can control our own music and we can have, you know, our own people on the microphone.
It works.
But, you know, it was a beautiful time, and, you know, we were just overwhelmed with joy. And, you know, of course, we, you know, took the mic and thanked everybody. I actually have a clip from that night that I took off of Dominic's Instagram, and I'm going to play it for y'all.
Every man is born with a missing rib. The Bible teaches us that.
Bring it on.
I've always been a fervent believer that when every man is born, he's born with a missing rib, and I'm proud of
that.
And I'm so blessed to be here and so blessed to have y'all. So thank y'all. And Ebony, I'd like to thank you as well.
So, yeah, I mean, that was Friday night. That was me addressing the crowd after hearing just so many people get up and talk to us. I was just beyond humbled and just happy just to hear my uncles, my friends, Ebony's family, her friends, wish well wishes to us.
Yes.
You know, from there, I think we went downstairs, hung out more, enjoyed the open bar more.
Yeah.
Yeah, just had a good time. The next day was Saturday, you know, so the day before the wedding is when you normally do the rehearsal and the rehearsal dinner. Here is, so one of the first points I want to make about wedding and wedding planning is feel free to go off tradition. Do what the hell you want to do.
Yeah, make your own rules. There's no, like, one way to do anything.
Right, like, don't feel the need to constantly follow people, follow the herd, like do what makes sense for you. So this was one of the first times Ebony and I did something completely off script. So instead of doing a rehearsal in the evening and a rehearsal dinner, we decided to do rehearsal at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Followed by a rehearsal breakfast. And to some people, that are shocked to conscience, like, oh, that's, you know, it's supposed to do that in the evening.
A breakfast.
But for us, it makes sense because we were in Mexico. We had scheduled a pool party at noon with all of our guests who are now there. We wanted to get everybody down all lathered up in hot oil and suntan lotion, get everybody, you know, on the humidor shots.
Looking good. Humidor. But no, I think, and honestly, like, originally we had... Well, I thought, you know, let's just do a 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, then do a dinner, like standard, right? And then once we got there, I was like, because there's no, like, you can just change things as you please, right? So I was like, once we're in the pool and drinking and hot, and who's going to want to get out the pool to go rehearse? And then it's just too much, like, trying to gather and herd people, and it's just a mess at that point.
People going to be dehydrated. People going to be late.
Right? Like, passed out of sleep, probably.
You know, and speaking of dehydration, shout out to Ebony with the, you know, just the foresight to bring a whole box of Pedialyte. When I tell you that saved the life of everybody there.
Everybody was coming to the room like, hey, you got that Pedialyte?
Yo, Ebony was slanging like, light out the room.
The Pedialyte
like
dealer.
Nino Brown. Slinging out of the Carter.
I literally did. Like, I had Pedialyte on deck. Like,
yeah.
And I had one every single day. I had a Pedialyte, and I was back, like...
Yeah.
Like, I never drank... Like, I didn't drink the day before. I was just good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, back to our rehearsal. But, yeah, so we just changed it, and it worked out so much better. So, got it out the way. Our breakfast was... So emotional. Every event was so emotional.
Everybody
but like literally
crying,
I think the
man.
Rehearsal was like the day that everybody cried the most. Because it was just like so intimate with our wedding party, and like people were sharing stories, and it was just like a a tear fest, honestly.
Yeah, it really was. Like, I've never been to something like this where so many people had so many heartfelt things to say.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was just like, wow.
I mean, you really don't know the impact you have on people until you know. And like, and this was one of those situations where, like, just hearing the things people said about you and about me, I'm like, wow, I would have never guessed.
Yeah.
You know, I meant that to them, or we meant that to them, or you meant that to them. You know, after that, we all got changed. We went out to the pool, had a good time. The weather was amazing. Ebony won a twerk contest.
I was just going to say, can we just not pass the part where I definitely won a dancing contest?
No, a twerk contest.
Oh, excuse me, a twerk contest.
Against three other contestants. And I would say they were formidable opponents. You know, like, they, you know, these are three other women that could, you know, they could dance. And they, you know, but, you know, my baby went up there and stole the show, as I knew she would.
Yes, but let me tell you, my twerk game was not not what you see on Instagram videos. So
it's a classy wife twerk.
It's a wife twerk. And so when I got up there, and my friend, I know it was a kid. I know she has something to do with this. Made me get on.
She did.
They came and got me out the pool. The people who worked there and brought me on stage, and I was like, ooh, I'm gonna get y'all back. But once you're under that pressure, you gotta perform. You gotta go hard or go home. And so I had to give it all.
You did what you had to do.
And I won. It's God.
They offered her a prize, but we ain't got it yet. I'm still trying to.
I think it was like some tickets to like some club that night or something. But I was like, staying on site.
Yeah, then we went down to the beach, took a whole bunch of pictures, and came back to the pool. We were literally in the pool for like 8 hours that day.
We were in the pool all day, like all day. Like when I tell y'all, I'm like five shades darker. It was I still am.
Yo,
like
it,
I still,
it was crazy.
A whole different color.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then like later that night, we separated around like eight. I'm gonna say eight. No, we separated probably like 9 p.m.
Yeah, because we had dinner.
Yeah. Everything was just so late there from being in the pool all day. But then we went on separate ways. He stayed. I stayed in
your little brother room.
Yeah, we made him go over there.
Yeah,
and then my sister stayed with me.
Yep.
They just traded places, so that was cool. And then I didn't see him till
the wedding.
That wedding day.
Yeah, I woke up in the morning, went and got yet another massage.
This guy, well, just first thing, all the massages.
I went out to the pool at like 7 a.m. because I was trying to finalize my vows. I had rewritten my vows at least like 20 times over the last few weeks, and here I am the day of. Like, you know what? I need to do it again. My mom called me. She was like, hey, you want to go to breakfast? It's like 7:30. I'm like, what are you doing awake?
Yeah.
So she comes out to the pool. You know, she chills out there for like 30, 45 minutes. And she goes have breakfast with my uncle. So now I have another 15 minutes to work on my vows. But I decided to go get a massage instead. Help.
Only guys can do like all this stuff on wedding day. Like, we're literally 8 a.m. like, go, go. Like, you next. You in the chair. You in the chair. Like, Ebony, where's your time? Like, I don't know. I don't have one. Like, just like,
yo, so just, let me tell you how much of a timeline guys don't have. It's 1:30 p.m. The videographer and cameraman is supposed to meet all the guys in the groomsmen suite at 2 o'clock. And a certain groomsman, not going to say no names, decides he wants to get in a jacuzzi at 1:30. Hey, you think I have time? I'm like, the cameraman will be here in half an hour.
Boy, Phil,
you want to get in the jacuzzi right now? Just for 15 minutes. Like, that's how guys think, right? But yeah, we had more than enough time to get ready. My brother like gave like 4 or 5 haircuts right before, like, it all worked out. We ordered a whole bunch of room service because the room service was free. We ordered a whole bunch.
Oh, that's
bunch
what
of,
we did. We like from 8 a.m. Yeah. I was like, we're eating breakfast together, like order room service. So when I tell you, we probably had like 50 plates throughout the day in that room. Like, they just kept coming and coming and coming to our room. Like,
yeah. And then we had the wedding, and the wedding was amazing. It was,
it was hot as.
Oh, boy.
It was hot. Yo, I didn't know how hot it was.
I sweat, and like, I had sweat like rolling in places I ain't know.
It's unbelievable where the sweat was going. But it was, the love was there. Yeah, the sweat was there. The love was there.
People say, you nervous or you hot? I say, I'm a little both.
To cry or to sweat? Both.
Yeah.
But no, it was like still amazing. Like, I mean, it was hot, but it wasn't like, you know, just like you could enjoy something. It was just like, hi, you're in Mexico, it's summertime.
Yeah, we had a really, really, really amazing wedding.
And the photos just were like, they were almost so perfect. It didn't look real, just with the background. It looked fake.
Yeah.
Because it's the palm trees and the lighting. Everything was just, it was just a perfect day.
Yeah. The party was lit. The food was good. The music was good. Yeah. Everybody had a good old time. And then, you know, her family, I think I've told y'all this before, but, you know, Ebony's family is from Louisiana. So they got like some Louisiana roots. So, of course, we ended the party the only way Louisiana people can end the party. And it's also with a staple that we like to play at the end of parties at Florida A&M University, too. And to go a little something like... Y'all know what that is. We had everybody in there doing the second line. Everybody in there doing the second line. And it was... It was so dope. It was dope, man.
Everybody ran into the table trying to grab a towel real quick.
Yo, Ebony's grandma came alive.
Oh, that's her song.
So, yeah, I mean, and that was kind of like our, you know, wedding experience in a nutshell. Most people left the next day, but mm-hmm. there were a few that stayed behind. Ebony and I were the very last to leave. We left two days after the wedding.
First to get there, very, very last to leave.
Right. So I know that we are constantly telling people that you should consider a destination wedding if you're considering getting married, because it really, really worked out for us. It was so much cheaper. Like, how much did we pay for our wedding? Like, what was the final check to that
paid
resort?
We paid less than $15,000. Well, our actual cost was like, I think it was like $13,700 or $600, the final bill. But that's like wedding only, like excluding flights and stuff. But still, like, you can't beat that.
Yeah, we're talking about like 3 days of rooftop receptions, dedicated bartender and staff,
at speakers, every event,
lighting, bomb food, beautiful decorations, like at every 3 days. Just, I swear this would have cost at least $100,000 in the States.
Yeah.
We got it for less than $15,000 in Mexico. It was amazing. So
amazing.
And for us, not going into our wedding with debt, but beyond that, like not spending a copious amount of money on a wedding that could be put towards something else. Because I don't know about y'all, but Ebony and I got some student loans for you. And, you know, to put it all into 4 hours.
To remind me.
Worth of... You know, wedding fund just didn't seem like the best use of our resources. So we were able to find a different route.
Yeah.
And this really, really
worked out. It wasn't courthouse. It had to be this.
Right. And you know, if you're considering it, I know that, you know, there are some things that you definitely need to know, though, on the front end if you're making a serious consideration. And we're going to get into that right after this break. This episode was brought to you by Hemporium, the CBD store. As you may know, CBD is a popular natural remedy used for many common ailments. CBD oil is made by extracting CBD from the cannabis plant and is often used to help relieve pain, treat stress and anxiety, alleviate cancer-related symptoms, reduce acne, improve heart health, and the list goes on. Hemporium specializes in high-quality CBD products for not only you, but also your pets. Visit their website at www.hemporiumcbdstore.com. That's www.hemporiumcbdstore.com. You can even follow them on Instagram to get a free sample mailed directly to your door. Their Instagram handle is hemporiumcbdstore. Don't wait. Your best life depends on it. So welcome back. As I said before we broke, if doing a destination wedding is something that you really are considering, which we hope you are. if you're planning to get married, here are a few things that we think you need to know before you actually do it.
Yes. Yeah, so the first thing, just making sure the people who you just can't imagine your wedding without have passports.
Wait, what? What do you mean?
Making sure people can travel, making sure they have the ability to even get a passport.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, you're right, because some people will say, oh, I'm coming to your wedding, and not realize you need a passport to go to Mexico.
Yeah, right. So, like, during, you know, for our invites and stuff, I made that very clear, like, you have to have a passport to go to Mexico. You have to, it has to be, it can't expire within, like, 6 months of you traveling. They're just, like, little things, like, make sure this is you have this together. And a small example is just like my dad stressing us out because
I am putting my dad on blast
because he stressed me out so much of this. And I was literally like, oh my god, like I'm gonna have to fly to California and get this man together. He hasn't traveled in a while overseas, at least. And so the last time we went to Jamaica, you didn't even need a passport. And so,
oh, they're like an 89.
I think I had to be like 12 or something. That was years ago, though. And I think shortly after that, they started mandating, like, now you must travel to certain places, everywhere, basically, with a passport. But so he was like, oh, yeah, I'll just get my California.
The real ID?
The real ID, and I'll be fine. I can travel. I'm like, no, you literally cannot. Like, yeah. And so that was just he was getting it, but it was just like,
yeah.
It was just stressful because I'm like, Dad, I need you to go get this today. Like, stop playing with me. Like,
And I had a couple people that I really wanted to come to in particular who would have came, but they had some, you know, some issues, child support issues, whatever.
Yeah.
Some friends from college who really wanted to come, but because they owed more than a certain amount in child support, the Department of State would not issue them a passport. Yeah. So, and that was something we didn't know until we're actually going through the process of trying to get one. And we're like, damn.
Exactly. I mean, not things you know, but things you don't know until you try to do something. And we're just like, wait, what? Like, we're so sad.
Right.
But luckily it wasn't like two, it was a few. So it wasn't like we had to like change all of our plans, but we were just like really bummed about it.
Right.
The second thing is I do not recommend destination wedding if you are a control freak.
Yeah, it don't work if you want to control every aspect of your wedding. It's not for you.
You have to just be okay with, unless you're like going to see the site beforehand, which you can. You know, they actually have discounted rates if you want to go. You know, check out the site beforehand. But I just am a review freak, so I was just on reviews like crazy, reading for hours and hours and hours, comparing resorts.
You were stressing me out reading all the reviews.
I need real people reviews. I don't want like fake ones. I need to see like what to expect, right? So I'm on reviews, I'm looking at videos, I'm just doing the most. But for good reason, right? It worked out perfectly. But you just can't be a control freak. Like, some things just, I mean, it's overseas, so you're working with different people. You're just, you're not even seeing the decorations that you're ordering. You know, it's just, it's different.
Yeah.
You know, you have a lot of say, but it's just not the same that you may have here with having access to someone 24/7.
I feel it.
You know? So those are my two main things. Everything else is kind of like, you know, it works out.
Yeah, same. I don't have much outside of that either. But what I will ask you is, like, now that you're married, like, do you feel different?
Yeah, I just feel different. It's hard to explain. I think it's more of, it's like a wow. It's a surreal feeling.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say, like, share with me / us, our listeners, like, what would you say are your top feelings / thoughts as a newlywed?
So, well, right after, I'll say, we got married, like the next morning, it was like a bittersweet feeling, you know, just waking up, like, this moment that we planned for a year and a half. It was a year and a half, yeah, a little bit, yeah, about a year and a half, close to it. Close. It's like it's done. Like it happened. Like it just happened. It's just weird. It's like, whoa, like we really did that. It's like it's still hard to describe because it's still so new. It's only been like what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
You know, but it's just like, wow.
You come
like,
home still wanting to like do wedding planning. Yeah, but you don't
and,
have
and it's,
to.
It's you're done. And it's just like, whoa, like
you come home still feeling like you can't order Thai food because you got to send a check to the resort. But right? Guess what?
Like, nigga, so Jim still, I can't eat the donuts. But like, yeah. No, it's and then just looking at you sometimes like, whoa, like you're my husband right now. Like,
I am.
Like, do you know that you're my husband? Like, you just have those moments like that's insane.
Best believe I know.
You my wife, girl. Stop playing with me. But yes, yeah, so this is like this bittersweet feeling of like, kind of sad, like like your wedding. It's an amazing day. Kind of sad that it's over, but then you're just like happy to start this next chapter, you know, and like the planning craziness is over, which is another bittersweet feeling. The next one I'd say is just I was just so excited, so excited to just like start the next part of our lives, like. Mm-hmm. Like this moment happened, but there's gonna be so many more, and just like looking forward to like what's to come as we like build and grow, and like every day or you know whatever, it's just not consumed by like wedding. It's an exciting feeling to know that there's that this is just the beginning kind of feeling.
Yeah. I wish that I could have this moment for life.
It's true. I was like, we should have a 5-year reunion or a vow renewal every 5 years.
But
like,
in like you this have moment, that I back. Just feel so alive.
Really? You're going to keep? You want to finish?
Or alive.
Finish or you're done?
Alive.
But no, that's like really how I felt. I still feel that way, obviously.
Yeah.
We're still in the honeymoon phase. Like we don't even take our honeymoon until
honeymoon next month.
Next month. Like we haven't even got to that yet.
Can't wait.
But another feeling, like the last kind of one I'll say is I just felt extremely overwhelmed. I know you're probably thinking like overwhelmed, that's not a good thing, right? But
don't sound good.
Really? No, but it's like overwhelmed in the sense of there is so much love and emotion and just like happiness. And it was just like, wow, like it just felt so good.
Yeah.
And like when I came back, I was at, it's like the genius I am. I took a day off and we came back and then went back to work on Thursday and Friday. Like, why would I do that?
I have no idea.
Those last 2 days, useless. Sorry, job, if you're listening to this, I was useless. But like, I just like found myself so many times like just daydreaming, just like sitting there like, whoa, like just happy.
Yeah.
Just happy.
Should be texting me like, bae, I'm so stinking happy.
So stinking happy. My legit words. Like,
I said, babe, I'm happy too.
And I couldn't even describe the feeling. It was just like, I just was still overwhelmed. Like even upon returning, just like, wow.
Yeah. She knew what she was coming home to.
That is exactly my thought. No, but yeah, I just, like, all I could say is wow. I still feel overwhelmed. You know, it still doesn't feel real.
Yeah. No,
so I think those are like the main. Like,
it still feels weird when I like say my wife. Like yeah. I'm at work today, and one of my coworkers' tires got flat, and she asked me to come check it out. So I came to check it out. And I was explaining to her what she needed to do. She's like, how do you know? I was like, well, I grew up in the South. These are things I know. But I was like, but my wife's tire went flat a few weeks ago. I went and fixed it. And I was like, yo, I just said my wife's tire. Not my fiance's tire. Not my girlfriend's tire. But my wife's tire went flat a few weeks ago. And I went to fix it for her. And I'm just like, wow, I got a wife, yo.
You're good at that because at work, I was talking to my coworker who's getting married. She's going to marry next month. And I said, fiance. And I'm just like, what? Like, I caught myself so quick. Like, no, my husband. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're so used to saying something. I think with any transition, right? Like from boyfriend to fiance, then it's like that switch. And then from fiance to husband, you're in a half of saying fiance. And all of a sudden, it's just, it's not a fiance.
Not a fiance.
And I was like, wait, what? Like, whoa, my husband.
Yeah.
Like, do I sound like Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But what are some ways that, you know, some feelings that you felt, I guess, like feelings that you felt some ways, but like, you know, I went over mine, but I know you had your own.
Yeah. I mean, I was telling my homeboys about this. Like, I would say the first one for me was I felt like a peace and tranquility I never really felt before. Like, I felt light. I felt weightless. Like, I felt like nothing in the world could get, like, I didn't give a fuck. Excuse me. I didn't give a damn. Speak your truth. I mean, shit. I mean, I didn't care about anything that could happen, that, you know, anything that could go wrong, because I just felt so at peace. I'm sorry, y'all. I've been really doing
the
well.
The peace has really been getting to
this podcast, but
the peace is overwhelming. Yeah,
when I tell you, like, the peace was overwhelming, just like literally feeling weightless, like you're walking on clouds, just
a magic carpet.
Yeah, just amazing. Just wow. Like,
I think that's not the word. Mood is wow.
So then I would say, like, the next feeling was probably just like I felt blessed. Like, I felt blessed to have met, like, the woman of my dreams, the woman who knows how to talk to me and knows exactly what to say to me at any given time, to speak life into me, to fix whatever mood I'm in, to elevate whatever mood I'm in, to guide me, to direct me, to just restore and help me maintain a balance in my life that I didn't know was possible. Just feeling so blessed because I know that I am undeserving. I am, you know,
you're deserving, babe.
No, I am not. I am not. Like, people, you know, you go to the Southern Baptist Church and pastors are constantly saying, Father, I am not deserving the blessings that you've given me. I don't deserve all of this, but you gave it to me anyway. That's how I felt, you know, when I married you. Like, I don't deserve this woman, but I'm glad you gave it to me. Right? The next thing I would say is, like, and this is like when some of, like, my man instincts sort of kicked in, like, I felt focused, right? So now I'm focused. Now I'm not having to worry about, like, wedding stuff. Now I'm like, okay, let's think about the fact that Ebony and I both started new jobs before we got married. Like, we doubled our salary. We moved into a new place. We got new cars. We, you know, been chewing down debt. We got all these financial plans in place. But now I'm thinking, like, we can really do a lot as husband and wife, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so the week after our wedding, I was getting an award as a young black influencer in Washington, D.C. And it just had me thinking about, like, the fact that I'm now sharing this award with my wife. Like, I'm not taking, you know, a girlfriend to an event like this. So, you know, I'm like, I'm sharing this with my wife. And, like, that is what life is about to be. Like, I'm going to eat. She's going to eat. She does. We're going to knock down these walls. We're going to secure these bags. And we're going to do it together. So now, like, you know, I started getting on Zillow. I started looking at houses. I started looking at, like, how to.
He's not lying. He G-chats me.
I got a whole plan to, like, knock out all of our student loan debt. I got, you know, plans to, like, have 7-8-figure incomes before we turn 40. I'm just focusing in on how to ensure that, you know, while we'll live the best personal lives and enjoy each other at home each and every night, I also want to ensure that we're both in a position to enjoy what we do and to secure a bag each and every day, each and every time we leave outside of this house, and to leave an inheritance for our children's children. So I'm focused on that.
Children.
I'm focused on our health and our wealth, baby. The last thing I would say is I felt secure, just like knowing that, like, you know, this ain't some girlfriend. Like, I don't have to, like, it's not when you're dating someone, we have a girlfriend. You know that at any given day, she could easily just walk away for whatever reason, good or bad. Maybe she's not feeling it. You just got to expect that, like, life can happen. Yeah. The person who's in your life today may not be there tomorrow because the commitment is so weak. Mm-hmm. Because you're just in a relationship or you're in a situationship, right? And then even as, you know, if you're engaged, like, there's no guarantee that, you know, you'll be together because, like, people call engagements off all the time. They get engaged to people that they really shouldn't, that they don't really love. Mm-hmm. And so, like, my security increased with every level of our relationship. Like, when we went from being friends to in a relationship, my security went up. When we went from being in a relationship to engaged, my security went up. But when we went from being engaged to married, like, this level of security is on a whole nother level. I felt like I could be, like, so vulnerable and, like, show you all of my imperfections and just talk to you about things that I've never talked to anyone about, knowing that I won't be judged. Knowing that I can just be myself and feel supported and loved no matter who I am and what decisions I make. And that's a phenomenal feeling.
Yeah.
So this episode was born from, you know, our new stage in our life. I think we're going to title it Thoughts After Marriage. These are our thoughts after marriage. Is there anything you want to leave our listeners with?
I would say if you want to see pictures, you know, follow our Instagrams. Ron's is...
My Instagram is Rontel_Beatty. That's Rontel underscore Beatie.
Yes. And mine is Callie, Cali, X Bomb, B-O-M-B. Callie X Bomb. And then, of course, our podcast... you know, handle is at it's cuffing season _. So you can kind of stalk us on any of those and you'll find pics and whatnot. And if you have any questions, honestly, on, I actually got a DM today about destination wedding. So if you have any questions about it, please feel free to reach out. Like, I am happy to help. Like, I went into this kind of like, had no idea what to expect. So we ran into, you know, many things that we're experts. So I'm happy to share my knowledge and just kind of like help because I'm like just all for it.
Yo, when we got married and, you know, we were walking through the resort to take our pictures at different spots and on the beach, like, resort guests were literally clapping and yelling everywhere we went. We were like,
I feel like a celebrity. They're like,
we were like the resort celebrities, and like the resort staff, we were wondering like, do they do all married people like this? And like, no, this is weird. We've never seen like people like get cheers everywhere we went. Like,
it was so cool,
everywhere we went, people we didn't know were like trying to take pictures with us. Like, I felt like, you know, Russell Wilson and Sierra. Like,
yeah, I was definitely in a lot of random pictures with random people,
man. So like, yeah, if you have questions, actually, I've been trying to convince Ebony to start her own
I feel like I could actually wedding, do this. Like, I destination have so much wedding
agency. I think that she could be really, really effective at it because people were just blown away at how ours turned out. So reach out to her, man. She'd be happy to talk to you. You better hit her while she's free. You better talk to her while she's free.
Patience is a virtue.
But anyway, this is another episode of the Cuffing Season podcast. Be sure to phone a friend, text a friend. Let me get it out. And as always, we're going to make every day a good day to cuff.